Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 426. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeah, I'm here. You know it.
Jeff is here as well.
Hello, and he's hello. Not 12 years old.
No.
I'm a big boy.
He's a big boy.
And Peter is here as well.
I sure am.
We are four deep. We have four different games to talk about tonight. And I guess I don't know. Let's start off with Jeff with Hitman.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Hitman, Jeff.
Hitman is awesome. Have you played the first half Hitman?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like the first game?
The first Hitman.
Well, yeah, the
last Hitman.
The last Hitman.
Okay.
The last Hitman with the name Hitman.
Yeah.
Because there have been multiple games with the name Hitman.
So have we all played that? I can't remember for sure.
No, I don't play them. I just watch them.
You've never? Okay. What about?
They're very watchable.
Yeah, I mean, I find the sandbox elements of the, you know, the last game to be way more entertaining for me to watch somebody attempt to navigate than for me to do it myself.
Yeah. So I am with you, Pete. Like I am not good at those games. I did try the last Hitman.
Okay.
But I much rather prefer to watch other people play it because whether they're good or bad, it's always entertaining to watch. But I feel that I have more fun watching other people fuck up or do really great at it.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I played Absolution before that.
Yeah. I tried
Absolution
that one,
Absolution was a little different because it's more like shooter-ish.
Right, and I didn't care for it, but like, and that's my Hitman experience.
Yeah. I really dig what they did, like, rebooting this. Like I had tried Absolution. I think I had tried Hitman 2 back in the day. And I don't know, whatever they did, I mean, I kind of remember similar elements of those other ones, but whatever they did with this reboot, it worked for me. This is more of that. So, how did you play it, Chris? Did you buy it or what?
Yeah, I own the first.
You should give it
Hitman.
You should try to give it more of a chance. I don't know. Like,
I made it through the tutorial. And then through the Paris level,
yeah.
Is that the first one? It's like the
I think so.
Fashion show.
I remember that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's an awesome level too.
It took me forever to get through that level though, and which is fine. Like, I mean, they're designed to like, you know, they're kind of designed like a puzzle.
They're supposed to take. I mean, I think they're supposed to take a while. Like,
yeah.
I take my time with them. I'm not trying to rush through them at all. I usually take about an hour to do one.
And it was perfectly fine. It's just like it plays at a slower pace than what I would like to do. And I much prefer watching people either be bad at them or be fucking amazing at them, because there are some people out there that are great at these games, like just do some unbelievable crap.
Yeah, I mean it's weird because like you could be bad at it. Like I think I'm bad at it most of the time. Like a lot of my kills are just kind of cheap. Like I kind of somehow get like the guy to separate from whoever else he's with for a second, and I just fucking run in and stab him with a screwdriver, and then just run out of the place, and I'm done with the level. Like
you guys got to be more creative than this, God.
But like some of the stuff is like. It's not really like being creative so much as just finding like a mission path and just following it. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. It's like this sandbox with so many options, but like some of them are like kind of like super long scripted multi-step things. You know what I mean? Like where it's like, and it'll lead you to an icon, like at least in part two. I don't remember how it was in the first one, where it's like, you could play it more like a regular game almost. Where it kind of like walks you through what to do.
Yeah, I think I remember the last one kind of did that as well. It was like, oh, like here's a couple different options for things to do. Like you can hear something, and then like once you overhear it or you see it or you read it, like it then puts an icon somewhere on your HUD that like you can go do that portion of it.
Yeah, I don't know. For me personally, I find it insanely fun. And no matter whether I'm coming up with my own way of doing it or just kind of following something that's scripted, you feel like an evil genius either way to me. Like, like even if it's something like the game kind of led you along this path and you're doing something like super specific, like, you know, like early on in this one, there's a level that's like a racetrack and or it's happening like, you know, like a NASCAR event. But one of your targets is in a fucking in one of the cars. And so like one scripted way to do it is to become a mechanic and somehow sabotage their car somehow as they're coming in for a pit stop, you know? And so like I loosened like a bolt or something on a tire and then, you know, the tire falls off right away and they die. Like, but they're, you know, there's another way to do that for sure. You know, there's a million ways to do it. That's kind of what's I think neat about it. I mean, that is the hook of it, you know?
Right, right.
And yeah, this is just more of it. Like, it's not.
How does it look? Oh, wait, you don't have the X anymore. Damn it.
I'm sure it looks probably the same.
Well, like, no, because the game comes with an upgrade pack for the first game.
What? And the upgrade pack, though, is gameplay changes that they've made applied back to the older game, I think. So it's like, there's like little gameplay like differences. I don't know what they are because I haven't really played through the first game recently that much. You know what I mean? Like I, one of the things is like, oh, someone could see you in a mirror or some bullshit. Like that's one of the improvements that they made in part two. And then like this update up or whatever.
Oh, it they filter that back.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's all the little things they did like that. So, I mean, that'd be cool too. This game, I'll say this. This game is a goddamn mess in terms of managing on your storage or whatever. Like, that's part of it, too. Like, it kind of rolls that first one into it. But also, like, when I downloaded it, for whatever reason, it's split between my external and internal hard drives.
Well, it solves the constituent missions is, like, all different.
It treats so this weird one as an episodic game, even though it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't played it yet, but I did install it. And the install was really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. Yeah.
Makes me wonder if the, what is it, Jeff Gerstmann's theory that it was supposed to be episodic right up until the moment they got a publisher that, like, Warner Brothers, who was like, nah.
I mean, just
release it all at once. We can make more money that way.
I think that seems, I mean, why are the files like that? You know what I mean? Like,
I think what Pete just said probably makes the most sense. Yeah. Right? It's like somebody they were going to release it episodically, and then whoever did it was like, "No, you're going to make your $60 up front for this." Like,
how much did they charge for the first episode of?
Like $10, weren't they all like $10 a piece?
Yeah, it was
so pretty, equaled 60.
It was a good deal, and I mean, really, if you got that first episode, you got the full experience. You didn't really need more.
Right, like it was just more. It was just different missions, like.
Yeah, it was you were paying for the maps at that point.
Yeah,
and I think, like, I mean, we don't get the numbers, but I've heard, you know, just following developers and listening to developers talk, and it's like that first episode always, like, that's your high point, and then it's trying to keep them through, and they never do, like, it's. Like, the difference between the first and the last episode is drastic.
I mean, if Telltale's anything to go by, right?
Like, right. Yeah. Like, if they couldn't do it, nobody can.
Right, because their, like, narrative experiences that, like, you want to go from 1 to 5, where with Hitman, like, yeah, like as you said, Tony, like, you get what you want out of, like, you can get a lot out of just that Paris episode.
I always felt like it was fun to hear, at least, or you know, that the episodic model seemed like a smart way to go, but just because the levels are so intense, like I can imagine being mentally exhausted by the end of like just one of them and being like needing to take a break, you know. And so having that 2-month break in between locations also kept it in the public.
It definitely kept it around, way better than...
It made you soak it in more, though, too, because if you got the itch to play, you're playing that level again, so you're gonna play, try different strategy, right?
Right, you're going to get all those masteries and explore every nook and cranny because you have that time.
Here I'm plowing through it. Like, I think this one's 7 levels. I think I have 2 left. But I will say this. I do think this one does pack more content in a way, too, because, like, in the first game, like, there was a story mission you would do in a level. Like, you do the story target, right? And then there was just, like, you could replay it again and try, like, different challenge, like different ways of doing the same thing. Like, and there's just all sorts of different challenges in the level, right? But here, there's the same thing again, but after you do the story mission, there's also, like, 3 or 4 different story scenarios you could do in the level. Instead of going to the next level, you'd be like, I want to try this story also set in the same in Miami or whatever. So, and I have not tried that yet, but like I do not remember that being in the first one where it was like, oh yeah, we have like 3 or 4 different stories on each level.
I don't know exactly what you mean by story. I know there were always
like
there were different things. There were different elements of each story that you could experience based on the way that you solved the target, right? Like,
well, there were also different scenarios in each level.
So that was in the first one as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that might be a thing that's returning, but I mean, it just goes to show how much they pack into a level, and you know, like into one of these, you know. So, but I'm through it like an idiot, and I'm probably not going to soak it up like I should because I have like 8 billion games arriving this week. So,
sure.
But Hitman 2, I mean, Hitman in general, really fun in my opinion. But yeah, this they did not drop the ball here or anything. It's
I just hope that Giant Bomb plays it for Game of the Year. Like, they do a video on it. That's all I want to see. I just want to see, like, Vinny do like some bullshit or something like he did last time. That's my favorite way to experience Hitman is to just
it's so much fun though. Like
I don't know, that's the type of thing I guess I wish I would want to experience with somebody else.
Like we need Jeff to stream it.
Yeah.
So that we can watch it.
Stream it. I have it too.
It needs streamer gameplay.
Have you been playing it, Tony?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's pretty much Hitman. All I have to say about it. I'm almost done with it.
Pete, you have gone back to Dead Cells. There was some update that came out, yes?
Yeah, so I don't know what... I didn't read the official blog post. I should at some point just to see what if they mentioned what motivated this. But they basically came out and was like, hey, we're going to like redo all of the balancing in the game and change a ton of base mechanics and basically turn this into like a 1.5 kind of thing.
Okay.
And so the alpha version is on PC that you can play like through Steam and stuff like that. I don't believe you can get access to it anywhere else at the moment.
Okay, but and you were playing it on PC
previously. Beforehand. Yeah, that's and I'm trying to figure out exactly how to explain it without being like getting within to the numbers of it and stuff, but they basically like did away with the level scaling. So like finding higher, stronger items is more important because as you get through the game, the enemies, like the damage won't scale or the enemy health won't scale appropriately with your level and stuff like that. They've changed some of the loot stuff. You can't get legendary items just by beating bosses anymore. You have to find them in the world. Okay. They changed like the thing about the time doors are no longer in the levels. They're in the passages in between levels now. And they added a second door that's usually defeated a certain number of enemies without taking any damage. Overall, yeah, they made it harder. They also took out a bunch of the mutations. Mostly the ones having to do with cooldowns. Used to be one was, like the red one was like, hey, if you have grenades, take this.
Right. Yeah, it's like that you get them back quicker.
And Exactly. Yeah. So, and then the purple one was like, "Hey, if you have anything other than grenades, take this," kind of thing. But now they've put in a bunch of new ones, and they changed the cooldown ones to be related to like the type of weapon you're using. Like, hey, your cooldown reduces if you kill enemies with ranged attacks, or if you kill them with melee attacks, kind of thing. Like, it's a giant restructuring. In a way that makes me kind of wonder, like, what the point of launching the game originally was, to only go back and, like...
Do you think it makes it better?
I have no idea yet. It is kind of nice to be able to, like, play the game and have to, like, unlock everything again, because obviously the alpha mode is not, you know, my save won't carry over, so I have to unlock everything over again.
Right, so like you get that progression back again.
Right, and so it's interesting just to see what's new and stuff.
Is this treated as a separate mode or like an across-the-board update where it's like you're not going back?
Will be an across-the-board update when it comes out. At the moment, it's a separate mode because it's in alpha.
Okay.
And they say that it'll be quite a while before they
actually
release it.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that game harder.
Yeah, it was pretty hard.
But I also think it's a little
I love more, it, don't get me wrong.
It's a little more fair. I'm noticing that I'm getting that shops are like the economy of the game was super broken where like I never had enough gold to buy any items.
Sure.
Because I was always saving it to upgrade items, and so they've balanced that out quite a bit now. Like it makes more sense sometimes for me to go to a shop and buy an item as opposed to just hoping I get it out of a loot thing. And stuff, and I always have enough gold to like really upgrade my items. Yeah, I don't know what I haven't reached the end of the game yet because I don't have enough health enough health potions to make it to the end of the game quite yet. I keep making it to the second boss, who they have definitely made a lot harder.
I thought you said you beat the older version of it. You're saying,
yeah,
okay, because I thought I'm like yeah, you said you beat it. I never beat it.
Yeah, I have not either, and I don't know like these changes. Like, I don't know if I will.
I think it's a game for me personally, anyways, that I want to just restart one day. So maybe that'll be an excuse to do so. Like, because it's been so long since I've played it that I just almost want to start it fresh a little bit.
I would like. I think I would like an option of being able to be like, hey, here's like the original one, and then here's like our like original or new, like
yeah, right?
And, like you could have two separate cool. save files, and
it'd almost be like two different two different games,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, it almost like mechanically feels like it could be a sequel, and like which, like I said, makes me wonder why they bothered like taking it out of early access, to then only come back and be like, everything's different again.
All these balance changes. And
I've not played that game in so long.
But my hope is that after this, they'll finally start putting like actually new content in the game because I want more levels and stuff. Like I think that's my biggest problem with the game is just the lack of variety in terms of levels and enemies. Like everything is the same. I know everything inside and out at this point.
Okay. So that's going to take a little while for them to get that out.
Yeah, I don't know what their schedule is, but they say that, you know, it's at a place now where they can test it on PC, but they were like, hey, this is also going to change. Like, there's some stuff, like, it's a little buggy. I've definitely noticed some instability here that isn't in the base version. There's some placeholder art for some of the new mutations and things like that that they've added. Yeah, I don't know. If nothing else, it's just an excuse for me to like go back and have something to do in this game instead of just
right.
grind against the me trying to beat the game a second time.
Fair enough. Okay. I have been playing Tetris.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, welcome back to 1982. Yeah.
Specifically new Tetris Effect. which came out on the PS4 last week. So you guys have played Luminous, yes?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, never I have.
So Luminous is was created by Mizuguchi, who also has done Rez and Child of Eden, I believe. A bunch of games for Q Entertainment. And now he's working for, I guess he's CEO of this company called Enhance. And Tetris Effect is the new game out of there. He did not direct it. He produced it. But it is very reminiscent of Luminous. It's almost like a rhythm game in a sense. Like, it's still very much Tetris. Like, there's Tetris there, but it is tied, like, everything about it is tied to the music and the visuals that are going on screen. And they've done some cool things to. So there's a campaign, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a Tetris game.
There's some what?
There's a campaign. Which is like, it's a weird thing to say about a Tetris game, right? Because Tetris is just like, blocks come down, you clear lines.
I mean, I don't imagine there's a story so much as it's just like an arcade mode kind of thing of like a set.
Yeah, so there's skins. Like, each level is like a different kind of theme. And so there'll be a different visual theme, which ties into the music track that's playing, which ties into what the actual Tetraminos look like. And everything kind of interacts. So you spinning the Tetraminos adds a music effect to the actual track that's playing. So in a way, like, you are creating the music that's kind of going on.
Are the Tetris.
I don't know if you're the Tetris, but you're kind of like the you're kind of like the ambient Tetris DJ.
Yeah, and like, man, you guys never played Luminous? Because that's exactly what it is.
It's very, very much like that, where you spin the block and like
different themes. Like, yeah. You're playing the same game, but it looks different. You know, as you go through.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what Luminous is. I just haven't actually played it.
Have you guys seen like trailers for this Tetris Effect game?
Oh, hell yeah, man! Tetris Effect looks awesome. I've seen videos and stuff.
Oh man, it's weird. Like, sorry, I wasn't trying to hijack Chris, but just like the way that it's just like, at least in the video, like the trailer, anyways, it looks like the Tetris board is kind of like a square in the center of your screen, and it's mostly like the border takes up the majority of your screen,
very much,
and so. But that's what the effect is. It's like that's the theme of the level. Like, shit's going on based on what you're doing on in the game.
So
neat.
We were talking earlier this week, and like you were kind of like, I wish it was on Switch, and
but I still want. I'm refusing to buy it because I want it on the Switch. Anyways,
but it's only on PS4, right?
It is only on PS4 right now. I'm not sure if Sony like had a hand in it in some way.
One day it'll be everywhere.
I do wonder, cause, like, it is. It does come with a PSVR mode. I do wonder if Sony like gave them some money to make that mode, and that's why it's appearing here at least first.
I mean, I'm sorry. I was gonna say, if Thumper comes to Switch, I feel like this could come to Switch. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
but Thumper was third party, and I guess this technically is too. Though he's only ever made PlayStation games before, right? Like, none of his games have come to other platforms.
No,
right?
I mean, Luminous is on Xbox.
Oh, it is now.
Luminous is on
Child
Switch.
Child of Eden was on Xbox. Like, I mean, his stuff has it's out there.
I didn't remember that was his game. Okay, I only remember Luminous being like a PSP thing.
I played Luminous on Switch, dude. That's the first time I ever played it. Was on Switch, so.
Yeah, and actually, you know, Luminous Remastered has just come out on everything.
It's awesome. Like, it's awesome. It's like, that was my first time playing it, was this summer. Great game.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, he's done games. Like, he did 99 Nights, which through Q Entertainment. Luminous Live was the 360 Luminous game. He's made DS games before. Like, he's done games on other systems, so he's not just landlocked into the Sony.
Yeah, there may be some money to exchange hands.
There's got to be a limited thing at the very least, but like, I really think Tetris won't be on everything.
I think it probably comes down to the fact that it is PSVR enabled. There was probably some money that changed hands to allow them to make that. But anyway, back to where the kind of thing is. Like, so when we were talking about that and you wanted it on Switch, I actually took a screenshot of the game and then pulled out the Tetris field, like the grid that you play on, and you know, kind of did like a little bit of math. It's 13% of the screen. Like, the actual game field is 13% of your overall screen.
So it's almost like the stamp in the center of your fucking, you know, like, it's crazy.
It's this small thing, and there's like a lot of effects going on around overall. It has this really cool visual style to it, but that's not, like, I mean, yeah, you can add some like cool visuals to it, but at the end, it's still Tetris. What they have done is, so there's the campaign mode, and in the campaign mode, there is this thing called the zone, and you fill it up by clearing lines, and you can activate it at any point, but it's a circle that fills up that then activates a timer when you hit it over. And that freezes time. So the blocks are no longer coming down. Like, they'll be frozen at the top. You can rotate them however you want, and you can position them however you want. And clearing a line that way then moves it to the bottom. But it's still there. So that as you're going, and the more blocks you clear, it all activates all at once all the time is up. So you can clear one. I think the best I've done is like 15 lines.
Yeah, me too, baby.
At once.
My mind went there too, Jeff. I'm not really sure.
There's I think 16 lines is it's like a perfectress or whatever. It's, you can't go much higher than that, but, I unlocked the achievement.
Damn it, Jeff.
I unlocked the achievement for doing more than 12. And that's cool. It doesn't actually, so to clear a level in the campaign, you have to hit a certain amount of lines. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I'm trying.
Just stop saying the word lines. And
it's all about clearing lines.
Yeah, it's all about clearing blocks. Like,
yeah, okay.
Clearing blocks. All right. Yes, you have to clear the blocks that
happen to the line of blocks.
Yes, the line of blocks. So anything you do in the zone doesn't count towards that total that you're trying to reach, but it does increase your overall high score, which is where your ranking comes in. Anyway, it's fun to do it that way, and that's a cool like aspect to it. Still kind of just Tetris, but then you get to the effects mode, which is a separate mode that is outside and has like a bunch of different game types. So like one is like standard marathon, another is it's almost like a puzzle mode where you are given a set series of blocks, and you are then given a certain amount of Tetraminos to clear those blocks in a certain order. So it's like you're trying to figure out the pattern to clear them. And that mode's called All Clear. There's something called Infection where you're trying to clear out dark blocks. And that's how you get the points. There's like a ton of different modes that are just a blast to play. A lot of them are timed modes. So none of this takes long. it like playing it really has me feeling like when I play Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's a pure gameplay experience. Like there's no story here. There's nothing deeper than just the gameplay, but you know, with the music and the effects tied in, like it just creates this really cool overall experience that it's just a blast to play. It's all I've been wanting to play this week. So I've just kind of been sitting down. I play for like an hour, hour and a half, and then I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to do anything else tonight.
Damn it. Download Battlefield.
I will download Battlefield. Tetris Effect, excellent, excellent game. If you enjoy Tetris, you should probably play it. I've seen this come up multiple times over the past week. Is like people are like, oh, I hear like Tetris Effect's so good, but I don't want to pay $40 for Tetris.
I'm fine with that.
Like that Tetris isn't worth $40 because it's been around forever.
Well, do you want to play it?
Right,
it's like worth $40. That's kinda like, like, I don't know.
I think with like the music,
I get what they're saying.
The visual side of it, but I also don't like. I mean, people like every like you're saying, oh, it's just another Tetris. Like this is kind of how they're justifying it. It's like I don't want to pay $40. It's just another Tetris.
Well, yeah.
Fucking Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is just another Call of Duty.
That's true.
Like,
also, how much did you pay for Tetris DS when you bought it? $40, right? Like, right. And that game was worth it. That game's worth like double that now, probably.
I do get like if you know you are somebody that likes to play multiplayer Tetris, this doesn't have a multiplayer mode. Like there's like leaderboards so you can kind of match up against your friends and against others, but there is not a like head to head Tetris mode.
Really?
It is single player only. I'm not sure why. Like, I don't see like how it would have hurt anything to have it set up for multiple players, but there is no two player mode. It's one player only. That's the only thing I can see, like people being like, oh, like, why really want to play it? Like, I want to play two player. Like, that's how I play Tetris.
Yeah, this is giving you, first of all, this is like such a spin on what Tetris is. Like, a campaign mode and shit like that. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, and we've all seen the trailers. Like, even if we haven't played it, like, it looks fucking sick as hell, dude. Like, I'm just being stubborn because, like, I'm trying to get rid of my PS4. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be buying games on it. I don't like playing on it. I just don't like it. So,
I just wonder if it would ever be able to run on the Switch.
I don't see why it wouldn't.
You'd have to pare down the fidelity like pretty heavily.
But Tetris? I don't know.
Well, I mean, all the shit that's running around it, not necessarily.
Yeah. The game you're right.
I don't know. I mean, Thumper runs pretty well. That has a lot of effects going on. I don't know exactly how, you know, what they're doing here. It's an Unreal game. It's done on Unreal Engine 4. The Switch can handle Unreal Engine 4. I don't think that it would be very good in handheld mode. I think it would be almost impossible to see. But as Jeff said, you can play, like, you know, it can dock. Like, you can play that game docked if it was available, so...
Also, like, I remember thinking this earlier today about some other game. I was just like, anytime someone says it can't be done on the Switch, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it can't be done on Switch. But Doom was done on the Switch, and I'm sure it wasn't as good looking, but it was done on the Switch.
Yeah, you must have to take half the game out. I mean, it was the bad half, but
yeah, that's right. Yeah. That might have just been people just don't give a shit at that point. Like, they were just like, yeah, we're not gonna port that over because. Fuck that. Like, is that, like, you're talking about, like, the multiplayer, right? Like,
right. I think figured it would the be true test will be when Wolfenstein comes out. Is Wolfenstein 2 still isn't out yet, right?
It's out.
It, on Switch?
Absolutely, man.
What about Dark Souls? How did Dark Souls do?
Dark Souls is out, and I've been playing a ton of that shit. Dark Souls is great on it. It's handheld Dark Souls, so. But
it sounds like the truest nightmare. But
it's great.
Yeah, Wolfenstein came out in June, actually.
I think it's been dying on shelves. I have to imagine that thing sold like 8 copies.
Yeah, I mean, it already didn't sell too well on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was not so hot on that game compared to the first one anyways, even though it was fine.
I agree.
And just, I love Wolfenstein too. Was that?
I said I like Wolfenstein too.
I liked it. I was fine with it, but it wasn't like yes. Like the first one was such a breath of fresh air, like such a surprise. Where you're like, wow, like you know, I don't know. That's at least that's how I felt about the first one. And then the second one was just like, yeah, it's good. I liked it, but you know, coming to that 8 months late or however long it took them,
right?
Downgraded version. For sure. Who the hell's buying this?
Right. I just want, like, what is the...
Like, Dark Souls, there's an obvious reason why I bought that. I'm watching football, I'm playing Dark Souls. Whatever. I'm watching
that
whatever.
That sounds like, what?
It's anyway. Awesome.
This is a separate conversation. I'm just wondering what the last, modern game that came to all three platforms was.
Oh, like, you know, like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or something like that. Like,
right.
But it did not come to Switch, so...
NBA 2K?
Probably, yeah.
And how stripped down was that version on the Switch?
I don't know. The first one was, I don't think the last one was as stripped down.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like I said, I mean, I don't know if Tetris Effect technically would count as an indie game, but, you know, those 3D games that come out on the bigger platforms tend to struggle on the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it struggling in handheld mode. I don't know if it would be too hard to do on a docked mode, but it would be cool. But
I mean, there's no reason why they guess shouldn't give it a shot.
I mean, shit, Chris, you probably buy it, right?
I would buy it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have preferred to have it on my Xbox One, but it was only available on PS4, so it's like, I got it on PS4.
I'm being stubborn about it because I'm like, I know it's going to come out on one, if not both of those. I would rather have it on either one. And on top of that, I do have the last Tetris, the Puyo Puyo Tetris,
right,
already on Switch, which I still love, so...
Yeah, that's a great game. Way different.
Yeah, it's kind of vanilla Tetris.
Like if you want to play Tetris, like there is an easy way to do it on the Switch.
Yeah,
Poo Poo Tetris is good. It. Tetris Effect is something different. It's I love the music. I love the kind of the visual design of everything around it, and then you know, it's fucking Tetris. It plays like Tetris. It's great.
Yeah,
like it's a great game. It always has been. Unless you hate Tetris, like
in that case, you're a monster.
Yeah,
I'm a monster, but I don't hate Tetris.
Right, you're a monster for a different reason, but
right, you know, it's like,
not because you hate.
Not Tetris. Because
I mean, there are people that don't like Tetris, and those people are bad people.
You don't like Tetris, Tony?
No, what? Jesus Christ.
Jeff. Did you listen to anything we just said?
He's a monster, but he does like Tetris.
I'm same. But I'm not like crazy about it, but I'm like I could never diss it. Like it's fun. Like I'm not good at it.
Oh, I can diss anything, but
yeah, I mean me too.
I cannot.
Just block.
I respect the Tetris. Like even though I'm not amazing at it at all. Like anyone could beat me at it, but I love it.
Yeah. If you get a chance, I would say play it. It's being an exclusive for the PS4, like that makes it. I mean, it's the most popular console this generation, so maybe it doesn't make it all that difficult. But some people don't have that, and that's backwards. Understandable. Very quickly, I also played some Atari 2600 games. This week.
Explain yourself. We're in the middle of November.
Yeah, you need to put those other consoles
playing Atari 2600.
When we get to Assassin's Creed Odyssey and the Game of the Year discussion, and Chris is like, oh, I didn't play because I was playing fucking Atari games.
See, Tony, this is me last year. Every time Chris was like, I've been fucking around with NHL 94. And I'm like, dude, here's the thing. I need you to play Breath of the Wild.
I did play Breath of the Wild.
I know, but this is like a repeat of last year right here. Meanwhile, Chris is playing fucking Alien on Atari or whatever the fuck.
Fucking so, I have been playing Alien on the Atari 2600. This is the most batshit crazy game. It is Pac-Man, where you play as Ripley running around like eating eggs. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. But you're clearing a map just like you do in Pac-Man. And instead of a ghost chasing you, deformed xenomorphs are. But it's based on Ridley Scott's Alien, not on James Cameron's Aliens. But there's multiple aliens chasing you around this map. And
it's called Alien.
And it's called Alien. And Ripley can, like, throw a burst of flamethrower and make the xenomorph run away.
I don't like this at all.
It's nuts. And I'm just like, I'm enamored with it. It's
like, you can't let it go.
No, there's one map, and then when you clear that map, it brings you to this like Frogger-esque level where you're trying to get to the rocket at the top. So there's these xenomorphs that are going across the screen left and right, and you have to like time your way across to get to the rocket, which doesn't do anything whether you get it or don't get it, because it just boots you back to the maze to do the maze again. And because it's a 2600 game, there's only two modes of how the ghosts, or in this, the xenomorphs, react when you eat a power pellet. And that's either it goes for a set amount of time or it goes for another set amount of time. One's quick, one is longer. So like the earlier level, it's a longer time. I don't know why Ripley can then eat the xenomorph, and then the xenomorph returns to the ghost box to come out again.
Sounds like lore was maybe Pac-Man not the biggest clone. Concern.
It is. It's a Pac-Man clone, but it's better than Atari 2600 Pac-Man.
Well, I mean, that was not like. Here's my problem. Like, I don't know how you can play those games. I really like. And the weird thing for me is that was my first console too. Was the Atari, like when I was very, very young, but it looks like a child's drawing or something now. Like, you know what I mean? Like
the xenomorphs are just like it's like this weird misshapen head. They don't have any arms, and there's like two legs. I would
tell you it was xenomorph. If you didn't know, if nobody said this is from Alien.
My wife came down and she's like, why are you playing Pac-Man with T-Rexes?
T-Rexes.
It's like, they're not T-Rexes, they're xenomorphs. She's like, I don't know what that is. And also, they look like
T-Rexes. You're a fucking nerd.
And I was like, they don't have arms. Like, there's no arms. She's like, so it's just a T-Rex head chasing you around? It's like, this is stupid. I'm going upstairs.
Since you're embarrassing me in front of my wife, enough of this shit.
I'm playing that. You're right, Jeff. Like they look terrible. But it's just like the basic gameplay of some of them is actually pretty good. Like Asteroids is a good good port of that game. A good port of Asteroids.
Yeah, I guess. I don't like I never liked that game, though. Like, I never liked the arcade version of it. Like,
yeah, it's
too primitive.
Literally just you're just a ship shooting asteroids. And every once in a while, a ship comes across. Beam Rider, which I don't know if you guys even know what that is. It's a game I played a ton of as a kid on the Commodore 64. But the Atari 2600 has a pretty good copy of Beam Rider on it from Activision. It's like an arcade line shooter where there's like six different lines you go across and you shoot down the ships that come across it. Jungle Hunt is a pretty good version of that game as well. It's just good gameplay games.
86 different versions of Pac-Man.
That, yeah. Pac-Man being the worst of them.
I have a special request of you, Chris, since you're fucking around on an Atari. Play the fucking Halloween game for Atari.
There's a like an actual like
you know that?
No, I don't.
Oh, dude.
That sounds
you
great.
Play as Michael Myers, I think. I can't remember if you play as Michael Myers or like a victim, but it's almost like has like a side scrolling look to it, like
Friday the 13th game.
Yeah, but like not even a flat 2D stage somehow too. Actually, yeah, I don't know. Look it up. You'll see.
Yeah, I'll have to look that one up. That is one I don't have in like the collection of 2600 stuff I have. So I'll see if I can find that one.
It's
I
out
have,
there, man.
I do have a Gremlins game.
For the Atari?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a pair of Ghostbusters games, but I don't have the Halloween game. There was a Krull game, too. Do you guys remember the movie Krull?
Oh my god!
I'm aware.
I don't remember. I'm aware of it. Yeah.
There was a game as well.
Did any of you guys play the Gremlins game for the NES?
Yes.
That's a good game.
I love that game.
And it has like good graphics and shit. Like it's.
And you got Gizmo awesome. Taking him down.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyways.
Yeah. So. Yes, Tony. I will be playing. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, though. I promise.
Better. Be consequences if you
that makes two of them. That makes two of you, though. I don't think Jeff's going to play it, and I don't think I'm going
to play it. No, I want to. Are we talking now? Are we talking like game?
We're going to let Tony tell us about Battlefield 5, because I know he played a little bit of that this
week. Yes, I played three matches, and oddly, of course, because I played the beta, I ended up on two of the maps that were in the beta.
Of course.
The third map was like a Norwegian fjord type map. You're on like the top of a mountain. So there's lots of like odd narrow defiles where you're trying to like get through this pass that can be easily like dominated. But there's lots of these little mountain passes. So there's lots of places to sneak through. It's a really cool map. And of course, I like the two maps from the beta. I'm happy to see they're back. I just wish I had played, you know, something that was other than
right.
I like Battlefield 5. I think it's made some really great changes. I think one of the best changes it made was to eliminate the little arrows that you could put over people's heads by sighting spotting. Them. Yes, the spotting was a little ridiculous. It never really made sense in like Battlefield 1. And it makes stuff like sniping way better. Like you can actually conceal yourself. And it just you spend a lot more time trying to figure out what's going on in the environment instead of like, okay, now I'm sweeping with my scope so that I can see everybody and like gain XP by just kind of throwing it out there. I haven't played enough to really get into the upgrade system. I did notice you have most of the attachments to your weapons to begin with.
Huh.
You don't is it mostly them. Cosmetics that you're unlocking then?
Yes.
Hmm.
Which I think is a great choice. I like the fact that I'm not like spending, you know, 4 hours trying to unlock the scope I need for this rifle to make it feel like it's useful.
Right.
I feel like that's smart, just strictly from like a fun standpoint of like,
yeah,
I know this game will be fun after I've spent 60 hours unlocking the weapon that I like and feels good in my hands.
Yeah, you feel like you're closer to equal with the players who are playing all the time because they haven't unlocked all the awesome stuff. In fact, the only way to get the awesome stuff in the game is to have your squad do really well and use those points to purchase it in the match. So, like, the really awesome tanks, stuff like the V2 rocket, you have to actually earn by playing in a single game. So they're closer to what you used to see in, like, the streaks in Call of Duty than they are to, like, stuff you would unlock by playing.
Cool. Sort of inspires a sense of camaraderie. Like,
yeah. Yeah, totally. No, you want your squad to do well. And in fact, the game does a lot to encourage you supporting your squad mates. Like, for example, medics, as always, can bring anyone back to life. But in the game, anyone from your squad can pick up anyone who's down. If you're not a medic, it takes more time, but you can still do it to a squad mate. So it kind of like encourages you to stay together because you'll live longer, which I think is a cool mechanic. I mean, the gameplay is still like awesome. Battlefield blowing everything up. One of the other big changes is any class, but the support class is really good at it. You can build like defensive works. You can build like sandbag barriers and stuff. Which is kind of cool for like, you could, you know, build them around objectives and like funnel people into certain positions. Or if you're on a part of the map where everything has been blown to hell, you can actually build stuff to hide behind. They're not permanent, so they can be like destroyed by the enemy, but it's still like better than nothing. Because there were times at which I would come to an objective and literally everything around it has been completely destroyed. How do I defend this, or how do I attack it? Because I'm literally like running through the middle of open space. But yeah, I mean, it's classic Battlefield. I love Battlefield. It's great. I think the changes they've made I've noticed so far have all been really good. And of course, back to World War II is a nice choice. All of the maps I've played so far have been in more obscure battlefields. So they're okay. Not like, you know, you're not in Normandy, you're not in like Stalingrad. So it's kind of cool to see them like spreading that out.
Which that kind of coincides with what I've heard about their campaign, which was trying to focus on maybe some of the different theaters of war that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to see DLC that focused on those places.
Sure.
But for the moment, it's cool to go to somewhere new.
They didn't launch with their Battle Royale-esque thing, right?
Right. That comes out in December, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not there now. I don't know. I play Battlefield for Conquest anyway. I don't understand why people play other modes. Don is always like, let's play this at the moment. I'm like, fine. But Conquest is where Battlefield is played.
That's fair.
Yeah. But, you know, download it, Chris, so we can play Battlefield together.
Yep.
I mean, you have a 10-hour trial. You have to buy it.
Yeah, I plan on getting it next week. So
I have it pre-ordered. It's waiting for me. And oddly, Best Buy, for some reason, they have the steel case for the pre-orders.
Mm-hmm.
The steel case is available for pickup. The game I can't have till Tuesday, but the steel case...
Get the case.
It's waiting for me. So when I pick up Pokemon tomorrow, I'm getting my steel case, too, for a game that I don't have yet.
Nice. All right. I guess real quick, we should touch on some news because there were some news things that happened.
Oh, yeah, obviously, there was the one thing today, but
yeah. Was it XO18?
Oh yeah, that happened too.
The Microsoft thing happened last Saturday. Not much to report there.
Nah, I think the only thing that happened that I wasn't aware of was that they also bought In Exile alongside Obsidian.
Yeah, so they officially announced that they bought Obsidian and In Exile. So RPG wise, they're set.
Yeah.
Did you see the new patch, Tony, for Assassin's Creed?
Now the level cap is 70. I was like, I'm so close to getting to 50, and now they moved it way farther away.
Yeah, and they said they've done weapon visual armor customization now, so you can wear whatever you want without sacrificing your
Oh, that's cool, because I really like the armor that I have right now. I want to keep it. I look better.
Also at XO18, like they announced a bunch of like new additions coming to Game Pass. They announced Crackdown 3's new release date. I think they actually gave it an actual
the third and final release date.
Yeah, like they, well, before it was just like oh, it's going to come out in October of 2017.
Well, no, I thought they moved it to Anthem's date, right? Doesn't it come out the same day as Anthem and the same, or no, the same day as Days Gone, right? Just like February 9th or something?
Yeah, it's comes out in February now. But I think beforehand it was just like, oh, it's going to come out holiday of this time or October of this year. And now it's February of, what's it, like February 9th or something like that next year. So, yay, Crackdown, I guess.
Oh, no, you know who we need to talk about? We need to talk about that Detective Pikachu trailer.
we could do that too. That did come out, yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I saw it and I was like, this is the most fucked up thing that I've ever seen. And I'm going to get a midnight ticket.
I'm not like as that hardcore about it, but like, I thought like it was actually kind of visually impressive.
Yeah.
And like the idea of just seeing all those Pokemon like on the big screen like that seemed like a fun, like I'll probably go see it too.
Yeah.
Well, I think like, for me, what kind of sold me on it a little more than anything else was that it's not like, oh, we're going to take a Pokemon and drop them into the real world, right? Like, this takes place in Pokemon world. Like, the guy, the character that the main, like, the kid, I guess he's not a kid, but...
Yeah, he's like a teenager.
Yeah, he wanted to be a Pokemon trainer at one point. Like, that's something that happened in, like, this is Pokemon world. Like, this is all taking place there.
Right.
So just, it's live.
It's just live action, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, this takes place, like, there's Pikachu in New York. Like, no, like, this takes place in, like, actual Pokemon world. It's not, like, weird fish-out-of-water nonsense.
I would have been down for fish-out-of-water nonsense. It's not fish-out-of-water nonsense? That makes me sad. Anyways.
No, man, that, though, that's how you get, like, that's bad video game movie.
I like, but that's...
Jeff wanted bad video
movie. No, like, dude, I love fish out of water nonsense. Like I love the first Thor.
sure, but I think that, like, I think my point with this is more like, you know, when you're like, oh, like the Mario Brothers are actually,
yeah, it's one of the best films of all time.
No, Jeff.
No. We haven't talked about this yet on Movie Dudes about how that is like literally my top 10.
I'm just kidding.
You know what? I don't think I've seen that movie since I was 10 years old.
Honestly. And that's probably the way it should stay. I don't know. I kind of like that. Like, they're allowing it to just take place in its own world. So I'm excited for it. I think it'll be fun.
I think Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu is weird, though. Saying
I think that's a great choice. I think it's hilarious.
No, it's like, I think of Deadpool. Like, it's like, why is Deadpool narrating fucking...
I think that's my problem with it.
The first thing I saw with, like, fan art with Pikachu as Deadpool.
He doesn't have the range to do anything other than Deadpool, so, like...
Like doing Ryan Reynolds being jackass Ryan Reynolds, basically, like...
I kind of want, like, you know... Pikachu being an asshole, though. It's kind of funny.
I mean, that part didn't really bother me. Like, it was just so much as, like, I was like, man,
it's just weird.
He could have tried, like, doing an accent, like, you know, kind of like how Bradley Cooper plays Rocket Raccoon, but you don't know it's Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah, like, you very much know this is Ryan Reynolds, like.
Right, yeah. I'm like, I don't need Deadpool. Like, man.
But I think it's funny that, like, only the kid can hear him.
I like that. Like, yeah. The kid, like, yeah, he's got... Yeah, he can understand all the Pokemon, though.
Yeah. And, like, that one scene in the trailer, is like, can you hear him? And, like, all they hear is, like, Pika Pika.
Right.
What do you guys think, like, the box office is going to be on this thing?
Decent.
Yeah, decent enough.
Worldwide. Because, like...
Worldwide?
You start factoring worldwide. Pokemon is huge everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, I can see this thing doing hundreds of millions of dollars, dude. Like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, 300 plus, at least.
Sure, I mean, like, if you go back to, you know, remember, they've had movies before.
Okay.
And like, yeah, but the animated movies, I think they stopped releasing them here, right? After a certain point, they just put them direct to DVD.
There's also some theatrical here, though, right?
They did, but like what Pokemon, the movie, the first movie or whatever, made like $165 million. Like,
okay, yeah,
so it's powerhouse worldwide at $85 million here. Okay, so okay. and Pokemon 2000 made $45 million here.
I will be curious to see how it performs in the Asian markets. Pokemon is very popular there, but and this has just been tracked in shit left and right. Black Panther maybe being the exception, or maybe turning this around. They don't really care for African American leads too much. Like if you look at all the Japanese, the Asian posters for Star Wars and stuff, Poe is like he's like shrunk down to the size of a stormtrooper like background character and stuff. Like they but who knows, maybe Pokemon can bridge all divides.
It so does.
It is being co-produced by Toho, who is the Godzilla company. So like they're I assume that they know how to market their shit overseas.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, I mean, it's being done by Legendary here, but.
I mean, yeah, the whole thing is just is wild. Like, I forgot they were making that movie. And then that trailer.
I had no idea. It just appeared one day for me.
I thought.
What if it's actually good?
I hope it's good.
It is. I really hope it is. Because, like, honestly, like, I just visually stuff, like, I'm like, okay, like, you could tell. This wasn't like how they used to make video game movies in the 90s where you're just like, fuck it. Like there's some fucking money put into this and some thought put into it.
I know my kids are going to want to watch this over and over and over again. I hope to God it's good.
Right.
Oh, please make it good.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, but at the very least, they're putting in the money and stuff. Like,
it looks like it, right?
The only thing that I worry about a little bit in terms of its success is it comes out the week after the next Avengers movie.
Oh, does it?
So it comes out the 10th and Avengers 4 or whatever the hell that's going to be called is the 3rd. It's literally a week later. That could hurt it here in the US, but I think it'll be fine. Like, I mean, it's not going to be a $1 billion movie, but I think it'll do okay.
I think it might hurt it. Yeah, I think it'll hurt it a little bit, but it's not like it's coming out the same weekend. That would hurt it way more.
That would have been brutal.
Yeah.
And also, PlayStation is not going to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Surprise.
I think after Nintendo bagged E3, I mean that was just the beginning of the end, right?
So I have a question. I don't know if you guys know if it's been reported on or not, but so Nintendo like doesn't do the conference. Like they don't do the press conference. They do the direct.
Right.
But they do have a floor presence.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Sony still going to have a floor presence, or are they just bagging it?
I think they're gone. People were asking them if they were going to do something similar to EA or Microsoft, and they were like, we ain't doing shit around E3.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I mean, everyone's, for at least, like, last 5 years, like, it seems like people have been saying, like, oh, it's the death of E3. E3's dying. E3's dying. We don't need E3 anymore. It doesn't make sense anymore. Like, you guys see people say that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I've always just been like, yeah, I guess it could die, but why not do it? It's fun. Like, what the fuck? Like, why can't we have, like, things that are cool? Like, I don't know.
Because it just doesn't make sense for the messaging anymore. Like, everybody can control their own stuff now.
Yeah, I guess. But then, if it, like... Is it actually happening this time? Is it starting to die? Like,
right? Is this the actual death of E3?
If they're not going to do anything at all, even around those dates and even around the convention center, and if what they do winds up being successful and taking over like the you know, the press and stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised if other people started to follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, there's if they can be successful by to get their message out without E3, then, you know, why wouldn't Microsoft and EA and Ubisoft follow suit? Like, there's no need to do it. But
I don't know, man. Dude, they get like a week's worth of press coverage out of this stuff.
But they get that anyway, no matter what they do.
No, they're sitting around, they're talking with the developers, they're playing with them, they're doing these long interviews. There's no way you're going to do that with that many media outlets. And, you know, like, it's like a nuclear bomb of fucking hype.
Which is the problem, too, though. Because
then you're
lost in the noise.
Competing with everybody.
Look, Jeff.
I'm just saying, there's no way to do that. Like, I get what everyone always says, like, the conventional thinking on that, but it's like, it's a way for the whole industry to get together and everyone gets to interview and like cover it. But like, I get you guys are also saying, well, then it's just like deluge of fucking shit when the company could just like do what Nintendo does and just go, here's our direct, you know?
Right. But I think where Sony's in right now, like, I mean, think of their last E3 press conference and then think of the fact that they also had no PSX this year and things like that. Like, I think Sony is like, they're getting towards the tail end of their console cycle. Especially if we're thinking that they will announce the PS4 next year for release in 2020. Like, I don't know. Like, especially if they're doing a console announcement, they'll dominate no matter what they do. They could announce it on Twitch in like a 30-second YouTube video, and it would be the only thing anyone talks about for the entirety of E3 week. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying it isn't like, it sucks. Like, I like E3. I like taking off those days and spending the entire day watching conferences and stuff like that, and you know, maybe they will still do something around that time. They just haven't announced it. I don't know. Their comments have been back and forth and stuff. It just says, we have decided not to participate in E3 in 2019. We are exploring new and familiar ways to engage with our community in 2019, and can't wait to share our plans with you. This may also come as a result of them being forced to diversify announcements between Europe and America and Japan. Like, maybe it doesn't make any sense to have three press conferences and they'll just do a PSX that's like a worldwide show that takes place in around the world at the exact same time. You know, like, and if you're in Europe, you go to here, you go to this thing for a weekend and you play games. If you're in America, you go to this place and you play games. And then they just simulcast their fucking press conference.
It'd be interesting to see if, like, if in along with this, if they like skip out on TGS or Gamescom. Yeah. And they're just like, you know, we're backing out completely. We're going to, you know, there's going to be a giant PSX in 2019. And it could very well also be have fucking anything to show for next year outside of what they've already kind of like. They don't have anything else coming for the PS4, like outside of what we know is coming. Like The Last of Us 2
right.
is gone.
Last of Us, there's the Ghost of Tsushima, there's Death Stranding.
Right, which I honestly don't think is going to be a PS4 game. Like,
there's the Medieval remake, and there's some indie shit, you know, like,
right. And so what, like, Days Gone?
Oh, and Days Gone.
February, right? Like, or...
Yeah,
it might have got pushed again.
No, I think it got pushed to April or May.
Yeah, but still before E3. When's The Last of Us supposed to be coming out?
They don't have a release date for that yet.
So, all right.
And Ghosts, I don't know when Ghost of Tsushima is yet either. Let me pull this. Yeah, no release date on that one yet either.
So you figure probably one of them is going to be around May.
And the other one in just like November, December.
Yeah.
Or October, yeah.
Like somewhere in there, so... Maybe it is. Don't have anything, and that they're pushing all their development resources to whatever this next console is. So I don't know. It's weird.
It's a bold move that has me excited, just to see what new stuff they can do. Because it's clear that, like, you know, they somehow managed to fill an hour of bullshit. Barely, or 45 minutes, however much the actual conference was. But everyone came out of it being like, I like the games, but God, did it need to be 45 minutes long? Like, You know, like they don't like, because Microsoft, at least, you know, you compare it to the Microsoft one, which was an hour and 20 minutes, but it was an hour and 20 minutes of them playing catch up, right? So they can fill it with all those games and announcements, and because they have to put in that work, right? That's stuff that they have to show. Sony, on the other hand, is just like, whatever, man, you're going to buy these games anyways. And, you know, like, I don't know, they showed Spider-Man, right? Even though that game was coming out 2 months later, 3 months later, and stuff like that. Like,
right.
I think maybe it's time for them to do something different. Whether that's a, like, 20-minute direct like Nintendo, or doing, like, the Blizzard model, where they do PSX, but it's not E3 Paris Games Week and PSX, it's just PSX, right? And it PSX is a worldwide experience that happens, you know, like I said, around the world at the same time. Sort of thing.
I can't wait for them to do the BlizzCon type PSX thing and then announce that all of their games are coming to mobile. Like you get on Uncharted right. Mobile, get Ratchet and Clank Mobile.
Dude, man, I can't wait until they just start putting out PS1 games on mobile. Like, that's what
I'm gonna take a live poll of you guys all right here, right now.
Okay.
Do I keep or cancel my PS1 classic console?
Have you played anything in it?
Have I played anything in it?
Well, let me ask you this question. Or how would has I your play experience been with your like NES and SNES classic? Did you play one game and be like, oh, yeah, I like this game, but I own it on four other consoles, and then you put it on a shelf?
I mean, I have them hooked up in my bedroom, and I play them probably once or twice a year. But I do play them, and I have played through several games on both of them. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like I didn't get money's worth out of them. Like, I played through all of Zelda 2 on that fucking NES, so like I felt good about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I mean, is there a game like, I just, on the PS1 that you would be like, I want to play this
Resident Evil, Resident Evil, I would absolutely play through again. And, you know, there's probably a couple things in there, but, like, I just feel like that generation has aged so poorly, and I just don't have nostalgia for that specific console because I didn't own it.
So cancel it.
So I'm just dear like,
God.
Cancel. All right, cancel.
Yeah.
It sounds like you don't even want it, but you want permission to cancel
it. You need one of us to be like, Jeff, you're still a gamer if you cancel this. Jeff,
it's not like I'm still a gamer, but it's like, I was just thinking, like, I could sell it, I guess, or I could, like, you know, it would be cool to have no matter what, you know, whatever.
I mean, yeah, if you want to put it on a shelf next to your other ones to be like, I have a complete collection, then I mean.
So I am canceled, but dumb shit.
Yeah,
it's just a weak lineup. I'm
not getting it.
Better. Yeah, it's a terrible lineup.
They should put some games that are like it, to buy the real version would have been expensive as hell. Like shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, just a better rounded and like stuff more representative of what that console was. I mean, shit, I didn't even own it. Even I was like, I mean, those are games on that console. I guess.
For me, at least, like, I mean, it had, you know, Final Fantasy VII's on there. There are games on there that are missing that I very much associate with the PlayStation, like Tony Hawk, Gran Turismo. And I can totally see why those games aren't there. But I just think the ones that they did pick are shitty. Like, why is Rainbow Six on there?
There's no way that's going to hold up, you know?
It didn't hold up when it came out. It was the worst version of Rainbow Six, period. Like, it's a bad version of that game. I don't know. I can't justify spending $100 on that.
Especially with me neither. Even as somebody who that was my first console, and I'm not even going to get it.
Like, oh wow, that's an indictment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at it. There are so many other ways that you can play these games, and there are PS3. So many ways that you can play better games that should be on that thing that aren't. Yeah, you play them on the PS3. You can play them on a Vita or a PSP. Like,
yeah,
if you find a PS, a Vita TV or whatever, like which you might be able to find.
Which, as from what maybe the rumor is, that they just repurposed all the Vita TVs into these things.
Oh, that wouldn't be surprising. But...
Yeah. Actually, would be smart.
Just yeah, yeah, like because like you killed that device, so why not?
So you have all this shit in here anyways, so.
Yeah, Jeff, cancel that shit.
It's already done. I did it.
Okay. How do you feel?
All right.
I'm fine. Yeah, like...
Now take the money you were going to spend on that and pre-order Assassin's Creed, or order Assassin's Creed.
Do it. Yeah.
Nah, that sounds like a waste of money, too, though.
Oh, no. So good. No.
I am going to...
Look.
I have 48 hours in that game.
How funny is it that I've gone from like I hate that series to like no, I'm sure it's good. I like that last one was great. And...
Yeah,
it's basically
like an RPG.
It's an RPG. It's totally an awesome. RPG. Yeah.
I mean, it's not
what the old ones were.
I have to go play Spyro before I play Assassin's Creed.
Oh, what? I can't wait to play that either.
Spyro is cheap though. Assassin's Creed is an investment.
I'm sorry, I'm getting 3 games in 1 with Spyro.
Yeah. For budget price, dude, I can't wait to play that game. It looks so cool. I've been watching like reviews of it.
You've never played the Spyro?
No,
have you?
No, so I have the. Oh man, I love all those.
They're good. I mean,
that's really good.
Insomniac games, Jeff. So,
Insomniac, yeah, that's it.
Platformers.
Well, all right. I will. I'm like dying to play it. I've just been watching videos. Like, it looks like you know 64 era platformer, but you know I just never had the PlayStation, so excited for it.
Okay, so real quick, you know, we are coming up quickly. We are about a month away from doing end of the year game of the year stuff.
Fuck me.
What are some games that we should at least be looking at, if not definitely trying to play, besides Assassin's Creed, Tony?
Yes, Assassin. Like I haven't made that point over the last like 2 months.
Yes, I think you've driven that one home.
And I'm going to try to get in there somewhere. Yeah. I'm sure between now and end of December when we do this,
I canceled the Pokeball version of Pokemon, and I'm going to use that extra $40 to get Assassin's Creed. So,
I really wished I had done. I wish Chris had given me that idea. Sorry. I had done it. No, I got stupid Pokeball.
What I read
instead of Assassin's Creed.
What I read reviews. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday when the reviews came out. They were like, "The new way of catching Pokemon in this is janky as shit, unless you're like using the controller, and like so that the Pokeball controller and the motion controls on the Joy-Cons kind of suck." You should use a regular controller. I was like, you know what? I don't need a $40 Pokeball. I have other Pokeballs already. I'm good. I will.
My son's going to be all about the Pokeball, though.
Yeah, I'm so full of regrets.
That's what you get.
Because I know I'm not going to want to use it either. I'm just going to play with the Pro Controller. Or just play it handheld, whatever.
It's too late. My $40 Pokeball is waiting for pickup.
You both have. You can bring back and tell how they play. All right, so Pokemon, obviously, we are going to be playing.
I do need to play Pokemon. I have a whole list, man, of games that I need to play, so I don't know what I can recommend. But I have so much other work to get done that I'm not allowing myself to buy anything else new before it's
game,
done.
Is it the Game Awards? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Game Awards.
They announced their 6 Game of the Year nominees. One of them was Celeste. Is that a game I need to play?
Yes. I would say yes with a caveat, which is like maybe not.
I would say play it up until the moment you get frustrated, and then.
I don't know.
That really hard-looking platform.
I think Chris and very similar in our platforming tastes, and like I don't know, like how do you feel about Super Meat Boy?
I did not enjoy Super.
Yes, but okay, but the difference being
that this is better. It's better. But
to say it's not that. The game isn't actively trying to kill you.
Some areas are really tight and hard to get through.
Yeah, but there also the accessibility options. Let me tell you, I beat that game only because I turned on the option where I'm not allowed to die.
That's what I'm saying. They bent it enough that, you know, it's still one of those games, but like.
But they also wanted you to be able to finish it and see all the other stuff if you want to. I say only play it long enough for you to understand that the soundtrack will probably win soundtrack of the year.
Well, I mean, I can watch some videos of that to hear the music.
Fucking download that shit.
Like, is it something that we are going to seriously be considering
for game of the year? I mean, it would be, I think I could hear a argument for it being in the low fives.
I would listen to anyone's argument for any game this year.
No, which is fine. Like, I just, like, is it something that we honestly are going to be like?
Yeah, it's like
low fives. We've allowed Tony to flip in strategy games for low fives. So, like,
so really, anything goes in the low fives.
For me personally, it's probably not in my top 10. Maybe Squeaks in, because for me, like, I didn't get far in it because it's hard.
That definitely says to me I should not play it. Okay.
No, I wouldn't recommend it for you, Tony. God, no.
Okay. Only, like, I do like platformers, but $20, like, in the next month, like, when there are other games that I could put that resource to, I'm just, like, trying to, like,
right. Something. What about something like Octopath Traveler?
What about it?
Is it something you should try out?
Should I play that for Game of the Year?
It's not in serious contention. It's not in serious, okay. Like, it's not. That's another one I didn't finish. I've become like, you know, you've hit your 30s or late 30s at this point when it's like, it's another game I didn't finish. I started it. It's all right, pretty good. I got 60% of it. I figured I saw enough. I think that's, I don't know how far I got into that one.
I would say probably not.
Okay.
Did you beat it, Chris?
I'm still playing it. Okay. I'm not beating it. I really like it, but
there's a lot of things I love about it.
I don't think that we'll see. Like, I think a soundtrack it may come up with, but that's something that we can kind of describe or give clips to. Mm. I kind of showcase aspects of it.
Looking at my list and realizing I may not even have a top 10.
So we all played Spider-Man. We all played God of War. Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I haven't played it yet.
It's not necessary for Game of the Year. I don't think. No.
I mean, I have Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but I have not played it yet.
It's a good game. It's a good Tomb Raider. It's just another Tomb Raider game. Really, like, and it's forgettable. Like, I actually deleted it off my hard drive last night. I was like, I'm not gonna play this again.
Y'all should play Donut County, though.
What?
One for me, like, I would say, I think we've almost all played is Dead Cells.
Yeah.
Tony, you haven't played it?
I have not, but it's Xbox Black Friday sale.
Not right that now. Much off, though. It's like $5 off or some bullshit.
Yeah, but, yeah, I have
but $5 off for a $15 game is $10.
It's pretty cheap. It's like $18, I think.
Okay. Like, I don't know, like, are you into, like... Do you think it'd be something you'd be into in the first place?
Well, I haven't bought it yet, so that's kind of a clue.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but
if it's something that we're gonna like be talking about for Game of the Year, I should at least like know what's going on.
So we need to talk about it.
What about Monster Hunter?
Yeah,
definitely.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, like, Monster Hunter,
but I don't know how you're gonna like.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for you to get into it.
You can't relive, like, we were all, like, we did play it together, you know? We did play.
No, I know, but I didn't have an Xbox, so, like, even if I bought it at the same time as you guys, I never would have been able to play with you guys.
Yes, it's...
It's definitely going to be discussed, so...
Yeah, it's going to be discussed.
Tetris Effect?
It is high on my list. I don't
want but it's a game that it sounds like the three of us. It could maybe transcend all of our particular tastes because it's just fucking Tetris. Like,
even if I do not play it, I like understand the appeal. Like, I get everything about it. You know,
can't you just find a way to rent it? Like, get it off Redbox or something, Jeff, for a little bit.
Maybe I don't know.
That way you don't have to spend a full like $40 on it or something, just rent it for a weekend.
If you guys can find a way to play, like I'm not advocating for you to go pay $40 for a Tetris game. I think it's phenomenal, but
I mean, I gladly will, but I personally have faith that it's coming to other consoles.
Like, I just don't know if it'll do that in the next month and a half.
No, it will not. It will not. I'm just saying, it's Tetris. It's coming to. It's going to come to other shit. So, like, I'm just going to wait. I will defer to people who've played the game when we start discussions on it. And I understand. Like, you know, I've seen videos. I understand.
We've all played God of War.
Was Destiny 2 this year?
No,
Forsaken was.
Okay.
Civilization
6 Rise and Fall. Anybody?
I'm gonna buy it for the Switch.
You're gonna buy it for Switch?
The Civ 6 is coming out for the Switch, isn't it?
It's a stripped down version, but yeah.
But I'm putting that on my Christmas list, so I will not have played it.
Yeah.
I don't think. Yeah, man. I think that's like, I don't even have a full 10 on my list right now either.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 9, man. And two of these games don't even belong in the top 10. So,
I mean,
I have a game in my top 10 that does not belong in my top 10 too. I'm waiting for like to play through Hitman so I can eliminate it.
Fucking 2018, yo. Just saying.
Do you have Red Dead in your top 10?
Do I?
No, Tony. That will be eliminated if you play
Hitman. That's the game I will probably be eliminating from my top 10.
Hitman 2 is way more fun, in my opinion, than Red Dead 2. But
yeah. I'm expecting Red Dead 2 to not make my top 10.
Yeah. Red
Dead. Just running through the list here of stuff.
And we can still put stuff like Spyro on our top 10 if we want to.
Yeah, for sure. Top
10, I would say that we will not consider that for overall game of the year.
Are you trying to see what the play I'm going for here?
What, Spyro?
I have two remastered or older games that came out this year on different consoles on my top 10, but I would not expect.
Anybody here play Nino Kuni 2?
No.
I keep looking at that.
Have you played that game?
No, I'm just looking through big releases to see if they're, because like it's hard to remember the first half of the year.
When did that come out? Like January?
It was in March.
It's like 20 bucks everywhere now.
Yeah. That game, the first one was pretty cool when I played of it.
Yeah. Yakuza 6, I don't think any of us played. South Park.
That's last year.
That was last year. Oh, it came out on the Switch this year.
Super Mario Party. Just throwing it out there.
Total War.
Not as a game of the year, but
just
no Total War. This was a weak Total War.
Thrones of what, Britannia, right?
Yeah.
Nobody played Pillars of Eternity 2. I tried, but it wouldn't run on my PC.
No.
State of Decay 2.
That is number 34 on my list.
Razzie of the year.
Ouch.
And that is the last slot that I
34 have. In terms of quality or 34 in terms of like
I have
finished it.
No, I didn't finish it. Like that is like out of the 34 games that I've played that were
from 2018
this year, State of Decay 2 was
last. Four.
What about Detroit Become Human? Did any of us play that?
Detroit. No. It's on my list if I can
get it. I've heard mixed things. I've heard some people like it.
Yes, those are bad people.
Probably.
I want to play it because I played the other like bullshit David Cage games, but
right.
I don't expect it to be something we.
Yoku's Island Express.
I've played it. I own it.
I'm just throwing shit out there as like
it's stuff good. That people should worry about. It's like, good. No, I mean it's not.
May be the shortest game of the year podcast we've ever done.
It really will be because I feel like there are some really awesome games this year, but it's like I don't know, man. I mean, I guess we'll get into it more then. But it's just like there's nothing like last year. I was super passionate about not just Zelda, but like I was passionate about Mario too. Like I think we said this last year. I was like, that was like, insane that like some of the best games ever had to go head to head last year. Now this year it's like,
yeah, there are some great games out this year, but none of them you're like, oh, this is the best game I ever played.
I'm sure there's people who really think that God of War versus Red Dead 2 is like same matchup, but I don't. In my opinion, it's not.
They're both like really cool. Dumb.
Yeah, and
I just called you dumb again.
I think God of War is really good. Like, I think God of War was fun for me, but I think Red Dead 2 really got not fun for me.
Yeah.
I think right, so. And for you, it's a competition of just which game was less fun.
There's a parabola in Red Dead. I think it's so the beginning is really slow and not all it's that
the
much.
The middle part is great
when you're starting to like, oh, look how great this world is, and then you start to realize how much time you're just spending doing nothing.
It's the same old tricks, and you come back down the other end.
Yeah.
There's no real evolution to what they've done to like with their games. Like it's same shit. It's another Rockstar game.
Yeah.
It just looks a little prettier, but some of the mechanics feel strangely worse. Like it's just, I don't know.
I don't know. If you guys can, I would say maybe try to play The Messenger.
Yeah. Yeah, I did play that game.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
How dare you?
Should I play The Messenger or Dead Cells?
You should play Dead Cells.
Dead Cells.
I would say play The Messenger.
Yeah, but if you're not going to like Celeste, you're not going to like The Messenger either. So,
I see where you're coming from, Chris.
The Messenger's better.
What happens, though, Chris? Think about it like this. What happens if I play it and I hate it?
Hey.
Would you rather me play The Messenger and hate it or play Dead Cells?
I'd rather you play Dead Cells and go, I don't like Dead Cells.
Okay, all right.
I would rather...
I hope he plays Dead Cells and he loves it.
You know what? I would rather him play Dead Cells and also say he doesn't like Dead Cells, because I think Dead Cells is the one that is something new and different a little more. Like The Messenger has parts of it, too, that are innovative, too, but, like... The Messenger gets annoying as fuck at times, and
what is Dead Cells?
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it more, but like, for me, it's just there's something more compelling about Dead Cells. Like, Messenger was really awesome, though. Like, it's definitely in my top 10. So,
cheaper than both of those games is Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. Also more forgiving if you play it in like casual mode.
Yeah, like that's a game I recommend that because like, you know, it's not gonna be the number one game of the year, but it's $10 or some shit. Like, definitely buy it.
Yeah, if you can find that,
it's like it's just awesome.
Have some time, like I think it's worth it. But yeah, I think we've all played the big games that people want us to play.
Right, the AAA games.
Yeah.
That are actually good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of indie games I still want to play. I still want to play Return of the Overdin.
Right.
I want to play maybe Battlefield, if I can, maybe.
You know what saddens me? This year sucked for strategy games. It was not a good year.
Civilization, baby.
That's it. Yeah. Civilization is a great strategy game, and there was an expansion this year. And in fact, that's pretty much the story of this year. There were a few good expansions and no really good.
It was an expansion year for sure. Yeah.
So going forward, what I'm looking at is Pokemon, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed, Smash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smash, it's very similar to my list.
Pokemon, Spyro.
Spyro's on my list. It's just further down.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get to it before. I want to play it, but I just don't know if I'll get to it before.
I don't know. There's some other stuff on there.
Spyro's not something I would think of for Game of the Year. It's definitely something I want to play. It's just it's a remaster.
But we have that category as well. So yeah. Like,
right, but if I'm like playing for Game of the Year, I know right. Since that's not like it's, yeah. It could be lower on my.
And Assassin's Creed, I guess, if I run out of other stuff, but like
Assassin's Creed is really great, Pete.
You tell me that, but everybody else is telling me the exact opposite. So like,
what?
Who is telling everybody you? Else?
Yeah, I want to know who's on this list. So
I've
I can
seen
punch
nothing but
face.
Praise.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody been like this game sucks.
Not that it sucks, but just like that it's a lot.
Well, who's saying this, Peter? Is it you? I think you're saying it. I hear you. You're the only person I've seen be like.
But I don't know. It's just I'm just saying what I've heard from other people.
From whom?
Mostly the Giant Bomb guys.
Well.
In particular, Alex, I guess, who reviewed the game and who was like, "I'm fucking done."
Well, also, remember, like, he put like 60 or 70 hours into it, like,
which sounds like is necessary.
Really?
Sure. I don't know.
I mean, I'm at
48 hours and I can't stop. That's my problem.
I also look at them and listen to them talk about Red Dead, and it's like you're putting the same amount of time in, and you're not describing anything fun.
Well, it's funny because like you're starting to see the walls crack on that with them. Where some of them are like, man, my save got deleted and I don't want to fucking do any of this again. Like, and, you know, dude, I think it's really just like that because Jeff doesn't care about that game at all.
Dude, I don't know if I told you guys about this one. I was having problems with my Xbox. I had to play the same mission like 3 or 4 times on that game. And the mission took me a half hour each time. It's like literally like 15, 20 minutes of riding around on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fun, and especially if you do it multiple times. Oh my god, dude!
It's hilarious because people were telling me how good this game was, and that's like the first thing I noticed. Like,
dude, there's some.
Why am I spending so much time just riding around?
We have friends who are very defensive about it. Let me just say that.
Like,
I've been very blunt about it. I think that I don't think it sucks. Like, there's actually things about it I will argue in our Game of the Year podcast for like categories.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree.
But that game is not a fun game. It's just not.
No.
Which I mean, depending upon what you're going.
If you just want to chill.
Or yeah, like I think it's perfectly fine for that.
Like, make your own story. Like, I'm gonna go camping, and I'm gonna go like to the bar. I'm gonna go camping. I'm gonna ride into town. I'm gonna go play some poker. Like, you can do shit like that. Like your own little fantasy world.
You know, yeah. When Aaron seems to really like it, and Sean seems to really like it for those types of things. I think
that's going great. Like, through the story sucks. It's just such a drag. Those missions, man, they're so boring, and they're all the same. They're all just riding around, and then you stop on a spot and shoot a bunch of people, and then you ride in your horse for another fucking 10 minutes, and it sucks, dude. Like, I hate it.
Wow, what a turn.
It's still in my top 10, but I hate it.
I have to say, y'all remember the time where Jeff was yelling at us because he was like, "How's this game not easily going to be Game of the Year?"
Well, like I remember really loving the first one. I really do.
I think we were all really high on the first game, as I recall.
I don't think this one is probably that much different.
I'm not a cowboy guy, like, and I liked that first game a lot.
I mean, yeah, I don't really play Rockstar games, but I like that Red Dead.
Yeah, but so, like, I don't know. Is this one that much different? Like, is it sucked that much worse? Or
no, I think it's actually too much of the same.
We evolved
as
gamers.
Like, it's possible we evolved. I also think that it has a very similar problem to what Fallout 4 had vis-a-vis Fallout 3, which is they went bigger without filling in the empty space.
And then, like, I think, like,
well, they took out some space.
They emphasized some of the, like, some things that are not great, like, you know, they just, like, Rockstar just sticks to their guns. Like, they still are doing a tap to run thing after, like, everyone has said, like,
you can change that in the game, by the way.
You can, but it doesn't entirely fix it. It's not like the same thing as any normal game.
Default speed is still super slow,
yeah, and especially if you go in camp and stuff like it.
And it's like, I don't know why, like, we have analog sticks, we've had them for
and
I can't figure how to use them for motion in games now.
And, you know, I can control how fast I want to go. I don't care if you want me to walk slower into camp. I'll decide. Go fuck yourself, you know.
But, well, there will be more of this discussion for sure.
This is just a small taste, guys.
Next month. But we'll be back next week with Pokemon and Battlefield and drinks.
And alcohol.
Yeah. Because
I
will not be here next week.
How dare you?
Because if it's Wednesday, I will be closing.
Fine. None of us will remember that you weren't there anyway.
That's fine.
We won't remember that we were there, so.
Nah. It'll be a lot of Jeff being like, what did I say on the podcast last
week? All right, well, yeah. Peter won't be here, but we will be here, and we may try to get some special guests as well.
Yeah.
And join us.
Maybe an actual turkey.
An actual turkey.
Oh, what's it going to feel like to be slaughtered tomorrow? We can interview him. Which of your relatives died so that we can eat?
You were the one that was crying, you monsters.
All right, well, I'll come back next week while we interview a turkey.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
We find out what it's like to be on the precipice of death.
I really want to know.
Jeff, say good night.
Good night.